Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're off and running here tonight on a night. Well, we're going to talk some U.S. Women's National Team as the United States through to the Women's World Cup Final. Today they get a 2-1 victory over England. The U.S. will get the winner of Sweden and the Netherlands tomorrow. And the final will take place on Sunday. Goals from Kristen Press, who, by the way, got the start. Heads one in. Starting for Megan Rapinoe. And then Alex Morgan were the difference here tonight. Absolutely great pair of goals. England put together a wonderful goal as well in this one. And it was a match that had a bit of everything in it. Alyssa Nair pulling off some great saves. Just a great women's semifinal. England will be disappointed, but England is also on the rise, as we know. By the way, Rachel Daly of the Houston Dash would go the full match for England against the United States. So, when the United States women's national team gets back, I sure hope there's a lot of talk of NWSL, and when they're doing national interviews and things like that, they go, hey, don't forget, come out and watch me in Utah. Come out and watch me in New Jersey. Come out and watch me in Houston. Be smart enough to promote the NWSL. But right now we're all about the Women's World Cup. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. And what is in store tonight? Well, there's a number of great things. We've got the former Manchester United and Celtic star, Brian McClare. Did an interview with him this morning across the pond. He's coming into Houston for our amazing Houston soccer community dinner that's going to benefit pediatric cancer. And I want you there. So go over to Facebook Soccer Matters and sign up for the event. $110, three-course meal. You're going to hear from a legendary player, the first signing for Sir Alex Ferguson. He'll talk about Ferguson. He'll talk about all the great players there. He'll talk about his time at Celtic as well. I'm going to give you a taste with our interview of him tonight. But please, spread the word about this event for the 501c charity. All you former professional soccer players in Houston, I expect you at this. All right? I'm not pulling any punches here. We need you at it. It's only $110, three-course meal, unbelievable auction items, including a trip to a Premier League match, all expenses paid, a signed Liverpool ball from the 2019 squad that won the Champions League. And it all benefits the Curing Children's Cancer Fund and my friend Kevin Klein and the Snowdrop Foundation. Okay, so he will be on the show. Eddie Robinson will talk a little bit of Dynamo New York Red Bulls ahead of tomorrow. That game you can catch on the Cube. By the way, the Cube is a proud sponsor of the Houston Dynamo. So producer Andrew Carlson, my first shout out will go to you. What stood out to you in that U.S. Women's National Team match?
For me, it was Rose Lavelle before she went off injured. I thought she was absolutely sensational. She's been, for me, it's been her and Tobin Heath who have been the most technically sound players for the United States throughout this tournament. And I thought she really, really shone through, especially in creating that first goal. She was absolutely sensational for me.
You know what, Andrew? You just went up like 10 points in my mind because Rose Lavelle is part of the future. Now, she went off and potentially has a hamstring injury. You could see her mouth it on the broadcast. But she's part of the future. Horan's the future. Mewis is the future. These are the future players of the women's national team. And another one that hasn't really gotten to play much is Mallory Pugh, too, that we haven't talked about. But Lavelle was awesome with that left foot. And by the way, was a threat also from long range. Had one hit beautifully saved by the English goalkeeper and then, of course, put one over the top. But it was sad to see her go off in that one. We also have, if you want to weigh in tonight, Brazil-Argentina, the lineups are in. For Brazil, it's Alisson, Dani Alves, Thiago Silva, Alexandro Marquinhos, Philip Coutinho, who some say Liverpool might want back, Casemiro, Arthur, Roberto Firmino, Everton, and Gabriel Jesus. So you're going to catch a lot of Liverpool fans tonight watching this game. Argentina, who's expected to go out to Brazil here. It's going to be another Messi flame out. Or is it? Armani, Otamendi, Tagliafico, Pazella, Foyth, Paredes, who I like a lot, DePaul, Messi, Aguero, Acuna, and Lautaro Martinez. So that should be kicking off momentarily, but those lineups are in. So that is a big one. That is a semifinal of the Copa America between those two giants. We welcome in now. Also of Soccer Matters, was around the country covering the CONCACAF Gold Cup, Victor Ariza. Victor, I'm going to say the same thing as I said to Andrew. What stood out to you in that U.S. Women's National Team game?
Well, you guys might get a little mad at me because I actually like the attitude, the swagger, the dominance of the U.S. Women's National Team, the teacup celebration, the U.S. against the world, this whole storyline of, you know, the only teams left are European nations going for the back-to-back. But more than anything, I think the dominance, the way that this team has just grown throughout the tournament and has just proven themselves, they can't be beaten. And it's a fun team to watch in that sense. I know, defensively, maybe they could be doing a little better, but hey, if there's nobody to beat them, that just proves to you how good they are.
I only think you beat yourself. What I would respond to that is with this. Every team that wins the World Cup generally has some good fortune. This was your good fortune game because if not for VAR, that goal would have stood because both the referee and the linesman thought it was until VAR chimed in and then a missed penalty. So there is a little bit of good fortune here. There is no doubt the U.S., to me, is the better team. But the way they gave that goal up that did not count was very, very that was stunning to me. Absolutely no pressure on the ball. A straight ball into forwards out of midfield. And the U.S. midfield really had dominated the beginning of the game. So they're the clear favorites. I don't think nobody's got the talent. Nobody's got the athleticism. Nobody's got the power between Sweden and the Netherlands, who would have to play the perfect game to knock them off in a final.
I don't think England was completely unlucky, though. Like, that first goal was a goal scorer's goal. I mean, credit to White. She puts her foot out just enough, and it goes in off the post.
That was a great goal.
Right. But then they have the penalty, and you got to make that. You have to put it, you have to put it in the frame. You have to score.
That would have given them
the 2-2. That would have taken them at least maybe two extra times. So I think England did beat themselves today.
Yeah, they had opportunities to have positioned themselves better for potentially the upset. No question. 713-780-3776. U.S. fan, let's hear from you. England fan, let's hear from any of you soccer fans out there. 713-780-3776. What did you think of the U.S. women's national team? And dare I say it, this is a little taboo. There were actually some people that pretty surprisingly told me they were rooting against the U.S. because they felt they did not like the celebrations and this brash attitude that the U.S. has brought.
Yeah, but I think there's also been fans that have been gained because of that.
Absolutely.
Attitude, the general sports fan. I can't believe today, right? Like, Zerline Granada were talking about this game in the morning. It came up earlier today, the Blitz, Fred and AJ, for different issues, right? But the amount of attention that this team has garnered, I think Kanko once said, this is what we all wanted, right? This is the attention we wanted for not just for the women's game, but also for the game itself.
No question. And World Cups do that. When a U.S. team does well in international competition, you get everybody behind you. Now I hope it's parlayed into more for our professional league in this country and for those who play on the dash, and that we can try to, you know, get more than 1,000 people at those games or 1,500 or whatever the number is down there and more attention. But that's going to be on the players when they come back. But that's not on their mind right now. And, yeah, it's – It's mainstream media talk, and this is what does it in international competition when the eyes of the world are on you. And in some ways, not that the guys at my station, John and all them, they do talk about soccer on occasion. They've had the Greg Berhalter in there.
But you could hear the excitement in their voices. I mean, it's...
Because it's USA. Because it's USA. And here's the thing. That's how you get... You get the mainstream has to talk about this now. And I'm not just talking about our station. I'm just saying everybody realizes it's hot. Everybody sees the eyeballs, the social media, everything that's behind it. This will be a Women's World Cup. The television numbers are going to be ridiculous. They're going to set records. And that's going to have to be covered by stations. You have no choice. So
I do wish more teams would parlay it too, right? Like you said, I mean, I saw a tweet today by Laura Harvey, you know, coach of in the NWSL, you know, preaching out, trying to get people to watch the league. And I do wish more of the players, and I get they're focused on the tournament itself, but I do wish more players would use that platform, not just after, but during, to kind of shout out the league, shout out their teams.
It was missed after the last World Cup win in Canada, severely. And it was very sad to me to see a lot of the high-profile ladies go on high-profile national talk shows and just forget to drop in that line of, hey, by the way, come and watch me play with the Orlando Pride. Come and watch me play with the Houston Dynamo. Huge missed opportunities and mentioning the NWSL. So we'll see if that changes this time around, if anybody learned. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. The absolute amazing ball Lindsey Horan hit to the diagonal run of Alex Morgan. That a spectacular goal. The three goals today. Yeah, if you look at the three goals today in this women's game, I don't care if you don't like the women's game, you have to appreciate the quality of these goals today. The quality of these goals. The England goal was tremendous. Big switch of play, a beautiful run to the near post. Woman, White opens her hips up so that she can redirect it. It goes in off the far post. Absolutely spectacular goal. The U.S. first goal, just a wonderful piece of delivery. That was O'Hara getting forward after a dummy. And then just a towering header from Kristen Press, who gets put in the lineup. She makes Jill Ellis look like a champion by starting her. Exactly, a genius.
Nine, ten minutes in.
Victor, you can't, the quality of these goals, spectacular.
Yeah, like I said, I love it. Just a textbook. The U.S. just keeps getting better with each game. I mean, we could be in for another final, right, or another high-scoring final. I mean, I don't want to, you know, get ahead of myself and you know, talk down on Sweden or the Netherlands either. That's going to be another good game tomorrow. And I don't know. I guess maybe just for the attacking part of it, I'd like to see USA-Netherlands. Though Sweden certainly have been doing a good job.
All right, let's go to Alyssa Nayer. Now, Alyssa Nayer, this penalty save is going to be her definition. They're calling it her moment. It was, but her moment also was picking that ball out of the corner during the game. Everybody's talked about Hope Solo. They said that potentially this is an area where it's a point of contention and goal for the United States. Here's what Alyssa Nayer said. She's taking us through the penalty. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say this was a good penalty. This was not a well-hit penalty. But you credit Alyssa Nayer because she read the shooter well. She was already going to her right. Even if it was hit hard, she was going to be there and potentially could have saved it. So here's Alyssa Nayer on taking us through her penalty save.
Took a few deep breaths and just tried to stay focused. Got a you know, pep talk from Kristen Press over here about 6 months ago telling me just I need to be more positive on penalty kicks and just relax and let instincts take over. And, you know, I give her some credit for that one for sure, keeping me calm. But all jokes aside, it feels good. But just take a few deep breaths and try to get a good jump on it.
And then Alyssa Nayer went on to say what the moment meant to her.
Oh, it was huge. The team celebrated that like we celebrate a goal. And that's huge. I wanted to transition. I thought I could get down to the other side of it where I was trying to, you know, weave my way through. But But no, just to be able to feel my teammates' excitement and joy, and you know, they've always had my back, I've always had theirs, and to be able to kind of share that moment together and you know, play that out and finish out the game and get to the final is really cool.
So good for Alyssa Nair. She's taken some criticism. You know, can she live up to Hope Solo and all that, and Hope Solo getting her moment in the sun ahead of this tournament, saying all kinds of crazy things. So good for Alyssa Nair. I think this is a very good moment for her. Especially, you like seeing athletes that, you know, have taken a bit of criticism, be able to fight through and do some good things. The penalty, I think, is more symbolic. I think her overall play is what has to really be commended throughout the game, including an unbelievable save in the first half. Any thoughts on Nair?
Yeah, well, I'll admit I was one of the people that were saying, you know, they're missing a personality like Hope Solo in goal, right? Because whatever people may think of her, or when she was in goal, she was one of the most dependable players for the national team, and that's something that they lost for this tournament, or at least wasn't proven, right? Nair had to prove herself for that spot, and I think, like you said, today was a game where she showed up. She probably had a better saves than the penalty, but it's the moment, right, that caps it all off, and organizing your defense, making sure you bend, don't break. Good for her. But, you know, there's still one more game to play.
Yeah, it's not over yet, but this was a watershed moment for her for the time being. She did have a couple of nervy moments earlier in the tournament that got people speaking up that this could be the weakness in the United States. We're going to take a break here. We'll talk more. Let's get some phone calls, 713-780-3776. We got Dynamo Talk tonight. We'll talk some U.S. men's national team. We're monitoring Brazil and Argentina. And tomorrow night, the Dynamo will take on the New York Red Bulls. By the way, they may not have Tyler Adams. They may not have had Bradley Wright Phillips all year long. But the New York Red Bulls are 8-6-3. They're fourth in the East. They have won two games away from home. And they are winners of 7 of their last 10 games. This is not an easy game tomorrow night. I'm looking for Albert Elias to come back into this lineup and spark the Dynamo. You're going to see a lineup that looks more consistent with what we saw earlier in the season. We'll take a break. Don't forget, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, they are the presenting sponsors of this show. Also, get down to my good friends at Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there and see my good friends Philip and also Justin down there. They'll get you set up in a brand new, beautiful BMW from start to finish. Take a break. It's a King's Court break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Press off the chest. Horan setting it in there. Header. Goal! Happy birthday, Alex Morgan.
Absolutely exquisite turn. And beautifully picked out pass by Lindsey Horan. Absolute world-class goal. Hey, not only is Triangle Energy bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, they are giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. If you want to learn more, text POWER, P-O-W-E-R, to 77177. Sign up for an Power to Win electricity plan and receive 2 Dynamo game tickets, 2 t-shirts, and you're automatically enrolled to enter free electricity for a year each time the Dynamo win a home game. Tri-Eagle Energy will draw a lucky fan or customer to win a free year of electricity. The Dynamo, they're winning at home, as you know. They've won 6 times at home. In fact, 6-0-3 going into tomorrow's game against the New York Red Bulls. So, they win a lot. Again, you can also enter to win by texting POWER, P-O-W-E-R, to 77177. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com to learn more. P-U-C-T, hashtag 100-64. You want free electricity for a year, Victor?
You know what? I need to sign up for that, because every time, yeah, like every game, they've won. The Houston Dynamo have pulled through, so
they're winning.
I imagine there's been, what, like you said, 6 winners already?
6 wins at home in 9 games, 3 draws tomorrow. They take on the New York Red Bulls. HoustonDynamo.com for tickets. 8 o'clock Central is the kickoff. 7:30 is the pregame show. The Red Bulls come in at 8-6-3. They're fourth in the East. They come off a 3-1 win against Chicago. They scored three good goals in that game. I watched that. Two of them were in transition. One was off a goalkeeping mistake. And they'll press a little bit. They'll play in transition. Bradley Wright Phillips finally got back in after being injured, and I think the Houston Dynamo expect to get back a number of big guys, Albert Elise, Kiki Struna, Matias Vera, Minor Figueroa. They need a statement tomorrow after the road, and the road was difficult. But before we get into that, let's continue on a little bit with the U.S. Women's National Team. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in. The first goal the U.S. get, it is Rose Lavelle, by the way, who dummies the ball. O'Hara gets in the space behind her. Lavelle lets it run past her. O'Hara hits a great ball in, press header 1-0. First time England had trailed the entire tournament. Rose Lavelle was a threat the whole night. And if you look at her, she's a skinny girl. I mean, she's, you know, not huge muscles, not big thighs, not powerful looking. She is a soccer player, and she's a threat because she's got tremendous technique. She went off with a hamstring injury. Ellen White would then equalize. I'll tell you, as good a goal scorer in this tournament. She is deadly around a penalty area for England. Cross finish. She gets between two center backs. And then... you know, the Morgan goal would be the game winner. And it was an unreal ball from Lindsey Horan. I don't think any question. The U.S. depth is a big challenge for teams in this tournament. It changes and impacts the way teams have to play against you tactically. And, you know, everybody's talking about, well, Rose Lavelle's out. Well, guess what? You got Mewis. You've got Horan. If... you know, Rapinoe goes down with a hamstring. Who do you start? Kristen Press, and she scores a goal. I mean, it's not like you're having to sit around really think that hard about the decisions because there's such a wealth of riches in the depth of the U.S.
Yeah, I was going to say, for all the maybe complaints that there's been in the men's game with the depth of that wasn't there for the men's national team, I mean, it's crazy with the women's national team, like you said. It's almost unfair to the rest of the teams to have... maybe two teams that could win this tournament. Carly Lloyd comes off the bench, and I agree with her. I think she probably could be a starter if, depending on how you wanted to play. You know, Rapinoe, they didn't need her today, and she scored in the last four goals for the U.S. Women's National Team.
Yeah, and I don't think has played particularly well, to be honest with you. Has fought hard,
she's been clutch
with the timely goals, no question. There's others who, in the run of play, have played better football. I don't think any question. Alyssa Nair's save on Houghton's penalty kick, that's a big moment. Poorly struck or not, it doesn't matter. She makes the save. She was going to her right. And then the offside goal, which if not for VAR, if VAR's not around, let me tell you, that goal stands because the referee and the lines people, they were all in on that being a good goal. Bright got sent off. England had to play with 10. She had two yellows. And... Horan and Press just reminding you with changes in a starting lineup the amount of depth the U.S. has. Now they have a couple days to get ready. Sweden and Netherlands tomorrow. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. I think it's Brazil and Argentina getting set to get underway here shortly. So Eddie Robinson's going to come on the show a little later, Victor, and he's going to talk some Dynamo, and we're going to talk about the road trip and things like that. Your thought on this road trip, because this was one we all circled, because the schedule was an interesting one. It was really front-loaded for the Dynamo at home. They had a lot of time to recover with their older players and guys that might be a bit older. This is just an ungodly schedule. And, of course, not only is it an ungodly schedule, you're playing some teams that are a little bit on the rise as well.
Yeah, but this was also known before. I mean, if we analyzed the schedule earlier, we knew that they had good home games to start off. By the time they got to this Gold Cup break, they would already played half their schedule. I didn't have any expectations for this road trip. I thought they would lose all three games, and that's exactly what happened. I think fans were a little bit more hopeful because of the way, game by game, maybe the lineups changed or what you could see.
Well, it was about proving out depth. This was the first shot at really seeing if the depth of the team is there, and that's still a question mark now. when Albert Lillis goes. And we've said it on the show before. When Albert Lillis and Ramel Kyoto are not in the lineup, the Dynamo are a different team. It has to be said and it has to be understood.
Right.
They're just two guys that are not replaceable because they so define the way the Dynamo play.
But that was the case last year, and I think one of the things about last year too is fans really did buy into this fact of injuries being so impactful that it was just bad luck. And it wasn't just bad luck last year. I don't believe it was depth. Now this year, you don't have as many injuries, but you have absences from the international competitions. And not so much these last three games, but even before then, the two Open Cup games, that really opened fans' eyes and kind of got everybody thinking, wait, maybe this team's not as good as we thought it was. If the Alston Bolt is coming back in the second half and making it difficult, and then obviously the way they lost to Minnesota in that second Open Cup game, that's where fans really started to worry. Then you get dismantled in Portland. You go to San Jose, and it's another one of these.
Well, you're running into a team that Almeida's squeezing every ounce. It's the same exactly. team, and Almeida's getting so much out of these guys. He makes a couple subtle tactical changes. He moves Eriksson into the middle behind a striker. He moves Youngworth back to the center back position. And you know the lore of Matias Almeida just continues to grow because he advanced Banfield to promotion. He did it with River Plate. What he did with Chivas, it's the lore of Almeida. He has not missed yet.
Nope. And the biggest one, and I think this is what really helps him, is people are looking at the names on the roster, and it's basically the same names he had last year. And you know, it's not like he got one marquee player during the offseason and then all of a sudden you know that's a guy that people are pointing to and saying this is why San Jose has improved. No, it's not the case. It's the same roster, and like you said, in essence, he's actually gotten younger with the roster. He's actually given younger guys more minutes and risked a little more. And remember all those losses earlier in the year that they were having, that people were criticizing them thinking they were going to be probably as bad as the Rapids, but they're starting to turn it around.
Well,
they're
I remember talking
spots.
With you and a lot of people on the show. I just said, man, does Almeida know what he's getting into? Because, by the way, he was in Houston the day after it got announced. He was in a restaurant called Tortoni, a friend of our, Danny Gonzalez. Both of us know him on I-10. And Danny calls me and he goes, guess who's the next coach of San Jose? I couldn't believe it. And I said to myself, does he know what he's getting into? And because, you know, he's inheriting that same team. It is remarkable what he's done with those players. So for the Dynamo, blown out of the gates, playing good soccer, everybody intact, everybody getting rested, good start to the season. I mean, look, you can say whatever you want about the schedule. You still got to go out and win those games. They did that. They took 21 points at home, and now they got to figure out this road thing. And then the beautiful thing about MLS is it's 7 out of 12 teams in your division are going to make the playoffs, and your conference are going to make the playoffs. So there is fallback position, but I think it's very fair right now to have questions about the depth of the team and some of the player performances. It's the way it goes.
Yeah, but I think I'm changing my stance. I thought they were going to make the playoffs. Today they're sitting in seventh place, and looking at the teams that are in the playoff picture now that I didn't think were going to be there, I didn't know if San Jose or Minnesota were going to both be there, and they are, and I still think the Timbers are going to make a run, and I still think Kansas City still has a chance to get in. There's not enough spots for all these teams to make it in, and the Dynamo look like the ones that are, you know, the ones with the least resources to be able to.
Yeah, but 2 weeks ago, everybody was writing articles about, you know,
but they got a bunch of road games coming up.
How powerful the Dynamo were. So, right, and that's what people are forgetting to factor in.
And hard games, like you said, Red Bulls, their next home game after that is going to be LAFC. You know, their next home game after that, if I'm not mistaken.
It's going to be a challenge, and I think the way they finish the year, a lot of their games are on the road to finish it up. Okay, we're underway. We're 4 minutes in. Brazil and Argentina, 0-0. Is this tonight where Lionel Messi flames out in traditional Argentine form here as of late, or is it the night maybe he and Argentina break the hearts of Brazil? This is one I think a lot of people are watching right now. We got it on a phone here in front of us right now. We're watching as well. So that's a big one. That one is in Belo Horizonte, and Brazil I mean, you look at the names on these two teams, and it's just stacked. And you got some rising stars.
Do you think this is the final? I know a lot of people always say, you know, it's the final that should be, but it comes early in the semifinal.
You know, I think they were saying that about the U.S.-England game too, right, in the Women's World Cup, probably.
Yeah, or USA-France, I think, is the one.
And but, don't forget, 9 o'clock tonight, El Tri takes on Haiti, and then tomorrow the United States. Let's shift gears here a little bit, Victor, and let's talk a little U.S. Let's start off with, let's listen into the goal call, the 1-0 win over Curacao, Weston McKennie.
Pulisic, clipping it in, McKennie is there, Weston McKennie! The breakthrough, the 25th minute.
All right, so that's the future of the national team, guys like that. Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, who's not available. Post-game, Greg Berhalter says, you wanted us to win 5-0.
You know, the interesting thing about this game, and when you look at both in Copa America and Gold Cup, right, you look at these quarterfinal matches, they're all tight matches. You know, I think you guys wanted us to go out here and beat them 5-0, but we knew it was going to be a difficult game. And you look at all the quarterfinals so far in this tournament and Copa America, they're all tough games. You know, these guys, they know there's no tomorrow if they lose. In this game, when we had the lead, you know, we have to make a decision how do we want to approach the rest of this game. And we felt that when the goalie had the ball, if he didn't want to play forward, we're winning the game, so we'll let him sit on the ball.
Here is Greg Berhalter, the manager, happy with the result.
Well, first of all, we're happy that we're advanced to the semifinal. You know, despite the tone in here, we're happy with the result of this game. And that should be said. I'm proud of the guys for their effort, and now we move on to Nashville.
So what happens is 177th in the world or something, Curacao, and what a lot of people don't know is a lot of these players that are on Curacao, if you watched, can play. They're not bad players, okay? You're relating it to the size of our country in Curacao. And what people don't know is a lot of these guys were schooled and trained playing with pro clubs in the Dutch Eredivisie. And the Netherlands is some of the best soccer in the world and some of the best soccer coaching in the world. So for them to be competitive is not a surprise. Should we have expected more? Absolutely, we should have expected more. And I think I would have liked to have seen the U.S. Get that second and third goal. And then the other side of the position is, if you're going to the coach, we haven't conceded a goal. We're progressing in a tournament. Nobody remembers these games anyway. They're only going to remember if you get to the final and win it. And can then make judgment to yourself of, is this progress to you? 713-780-3776. Is this U.S. men's national team progress to you? And does Greg Berhalter deserve time to implement a plan and what he's trying to do?
I do think that is one thing that did hurt the U.S. the last time around. They won the Gold Cup in 2017, and that sort of hid maybe some of the signs that we should have seen from that team. Instead, they go on to win it, and then a couple months later, they don't make the World Cup. And I think when you go back and look at the way they struggled through that tournament, you can make the argument Jamaica should have won that final. Andre Blake doesn't go out injured. I know it's a what if, but I think winning covers a lot of things. And
winning is a great mask for deficiency. There's no question about that. And whenever you win, everybody it's the perfect marketing tool. And when you lose, it's not a great thing. And I think sometimes we get a little bit defensive. You know what? The good news is people are talking about you. If they're talking about you and they're asking for more, they want more, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, and I think there were some wonderful talents out there for the U.S. men's national team. Pulisic looks on another level, as we all know.
Right. Well, he is.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, Victor. Andrew Carlson's going to ride us into break here with little George Thorogood. Just a quick reminder here. Kings Court is down in Edo. It's a place to be watching all the Copa America, the Gold Cup. There's people in there right now. Women's World Cup, Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, rooftop deck, spectacular, tremendous British and Indian pub-style cuisine. KingsCourtHoustonTX.com. Say hello to Jay. And then also you can go over to Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Markey Entertainment Center. That's on the, going west towards Katy. It's on your right-hand side. Unbelievable pub. By the way, Sunday, three finals. It's going to be hopping down in Edo. Apparently, it's going to be a watch party down there. I think the Dynamo involved with that. Three finals on Sunday. What a day it's going to be. Take a break. We got more to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're going to do a Daspit Law Firm break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, you know I know I'm hot. Andrew, I know I'm hot. I'm just listening to this song. Because I love that little old band from Texas, ZZ Top. They're ours. You guys are still hanging in there playing great music. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Quite a stir on Twitter. Everybody getting crazy. Because after Alex Morgan scored, she sipped a cup of tea in defiance of England. Everybody's in a tussy over it. Where are they? I think it's all good fun. Now, first game, that's another story, the tie thing. But sipping of the teacup. Quick mention here again. I do want to tell you, this is something very close to a lot of people's hearts, and that is the event that we have going on. It's the Houston Soccer Community Dinner. It's coming up in August. August 16th, our speaker is Brian McClair. Brian, we'll have an interview with him later on in the show. Played for Motherwell, Celtic, Manchester United, and Scotland. Played with legendary players, legendary managers. He's one of them. Scored over 20 goals, won Premier League titles with Manchester United. We have a Celtic supporters group in Houston. I hope you're out there listening to this and you're going to come to this event. We would love to have you there. You'll get personal time with Brian. Manchester United, Houston Red Army, you got to show big, guys and gals. You got to show big because your man, Tom Clare, is the guy who every year goes and arranges this, okay? And Tom Clare's on my mind right now. Brian McClair, this is all to benefit the 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, the Snowdrop Foundation, celebrities, soccer community, all invited. This is open to everyone. Raffle, auction items that are unbelievable. Three-course meal, there's signed soccer balls. There's more memorabilia you will not believe that Tom Clare gets from Manchester United. Just amazing stuff. So come on out to this. You can sign up Facebook Soccer Matters. Go over there. All the information. Eventbrite tells you everything about it. Three-course meal, you name it. Victor, you were there last year. It was a great night, wasn't it?
Yeah, you outbid everybody for that Chicharito Manchester United jersey. That would have been a nice thing to...
I was trying to drum it up, and I ended up having to buy it. No, it was all good. No, it was great. It was fun. But that's what's fun about it. We all kind of bid it up, yeah. And... You know, there's a real cool...
there is a bunch of cool stuff. I think it was
cool
a Rooney,
people too.
Rooney jersey, too.
Oh, yeah.
The thing this year, I mean, I can't believe it's...
Trip to the Premier League game of your choice.
Old Trafford. I mean, whether you're a Manchester United fan or not, that free trip to a stadium like that with so much history, that'd be cool.
Yeah, there's all kinds of great stuff. There's also a signed Liverpool ball that's got all signed by the 2019 Champions League winners. That's a nice little keepsake for the home, and you know, just on and on it goes. I wish I had the sheet in front of me, and it's bad on me. I'll give myself a yellow card for not having it, because it's a bunch of other things that we got to talk about. But please consider it. Please spread the word. We need your help. Maybe your company wants to take a table. It's great. You'll meet a lot of really interesting people. It's very personable. It's fun. It's like-minded people. Guys and gals at it. It's a great event. And Brian McClair is going to be there as well. And what I also know is there's going to be other pro players in town from the past Houston professional men's soccer teams dating back to the 60s. And some of those guys are going to be at this event, too. That's going to make it even more fun. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Which tournament is most on your mind right now? Women's World Cup, Gold Cup, Copa America, or the AFCON? Or is it Major League Soccer and the Houston Dynamo? You tell me. 713-780-3776. All right, you told me you like the Alex Morgan sipping the teacup after the goal.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's That's what it's all about, right? I mean, having fun. I mean, I know the first game was in bad taste because it was against Thailand, and you know, a lot of these players aren't. Oh, by the way, goal, Brazil.
And Brazil's just gone up. Oh, Brazil, Gabriel Jesus has just scored for Brazil. Good call, Victor.
He just had
good
quite a celebration himself.
19th minute, Brazil 1-0 over Argentina. Okay, go on with the teacup celebration. He didn't do a teacup celebration. This no, is actually, let's describe this. It's Brazil wins a ball in midfield, and it's basically on the counter. This is a spectacular goal. Back for Argentina, just left out to dry here. And Brazil comes in, gets it wide. It gets whipped across the face of goal. Gabriel Jesus is there. So 1-0 Brazil, and it comes off a loss of possession in a very bad area of the field.
Yeah, give it. Look at Tite celebrating. Give it.
Tite is.
I was going to mention earlier, El Horizonte, the place they're playing. Remember, last big game Brazil had there was the 7-1 loss to Germany. So I can't imagine that they didn't think about that. The game before that was also in the World Cup. 1-1 game against Chile where they had to go to penalties, and luckily Brazil outlasted them and were able to win it. But not a good, like, vibes-wise, not a good stadium for Brazil.
Yeah, well, that World Cup was, that was one of the most devastating things that ever happened to Brazilian soccer. And, by the way, when the Germans were scoring some of the later goals in that match, they weren't celebrating them. So that's just a little something there that people can dissect in their own ways. It's what it is. Some people thought it was okay to go nuts and celebrate like crazy. I don't think as a veteran player you needed to go that far when it was 7-0. But that's all past. Let's not even talk about that. By the way, think of the intense pressure on Brazil coming into this game against Argentina.
Well, that's what
you lose to Argentina as the host country of the Copa America. You're going to have a hard time getting home, no matter who you are. Gabriel Jesus, Marquinhos, Coutinho, Casemiro, it doesn't matter. You're going to have a rough time getting home after this game if you don't beat Argentina.
I mean, we brought this up on the Facebook page, for the Soccer Matters Facebook page. Is this the biggest international rivalry? I think it is. Is there one bigger? Maybe around these parts, you might say Mexico, United States. Just
you have to throw in Netherlands, Germany is always a good one.
But I think this is it, right? Argentina, Brazil. It doesn't get any better than this. And again, in Brazil being a host, you have one of the all-time greats in Messi as a villain in this story.
Might be the most high profile. Just because of how successful they've been as soccer-playing nations. Well, so is Germany and the Netherlands. I mean, Germany and the Netherlands goes way back to when it was the former West Germany, because that's what the 74 final was played, Beckenbauer against Johan Cruyff. But, yeah, you would make a good argument for this one. What does this mean to Messi if he gets knocked out here again? Is he being judged fairly based on the infrastructure problems at their federation that's so corrupt with the team around him, with coach who's not supposed to be the coach for Messi? I mean, how much can you really put on him? Because, you know, you always get the Cristiano Ronaldo gloating fans, the gotcha people, which I don't like that because Messi's a tremendous player. He's carried himself unbelievable.
Well, I think a lot of it is expectations.
But yeah, I mean, are the expectations overblown based on the structure around him? And the way the team's built.
Well, I think the biggest one is because of all the talent that Argentina has. You know, they're always a favorite, or at least considered a very good challenger in every World Cup and in every Copa America to win the whole thing. Whereas Portugal, not a lot of people expected them to ever win the Euro, right? Not a lot of people expect them to make a run in the World Cup. So the fact that Ronaldo, and it's not like he played a big part in that.
That's
run,
fair. No, he didn't. He didn't when they won the Euros, but the Nations Cup, he was there. Yeah, it's true. Actually, he didn't have that much to do with winning the Euros, frankly. But it doesn't matter. They won, and history is going to tell you Ronaldo was on the winning team that won the European Championships. Yeah, nobody looks back at what happened during the entire tournament. That's why so much is forgotten quickly, and what's remembered is who won it and how you won it. But I think your point's a good one here. It's tough to knock off this rivalry between Brazil and Argentina.
That'll always be like the biggest knock on him, right? That if he doesn't win an international trophy, somehow that discredits that he's the greatest of all time, whether you think he is or not.
Greatest of all time might be Led Zeppelin. We're going to break right now. Some will say. It's like, how do you, you know, it's just... Taking a break here. We're streaming at ESPN 975. We have coming up on the program the legendary Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. We've got Eddie Robinson going to join us. And also, we got this interview with Brian McClair, the former Manchester United and Celtic star. He comes on a little bit later in the program. Or he may come on. I'm not sure when he's on. We'll figure that out in the break here, I think. But got a great second hour for you here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to John and his firm. Don't forget tomorrow, Sweden and the Netherlands. And, of course, Houston Dynamo in action down at BBVA Stadium tomorrow. 6-0-3 at home, trying to keep that home record intact. This is a tricky game. This is an important one psychologically because the Dynamo, after three straight road losses, have only won one in their last seven. They need a win here tomorrow to kind of get themselves back on track. They're going to get a lot of their regulars back as well. It's the Dynamo Red Bulls tomorrow. Tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. All right, we're going to take a Kings Court break right now.